Resolution, Gary versus Ashcroft.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, counsel. Investigate, my name is Yusuf Cole. I represent the petitioners in this case, Petitioner Gergi family. Investigate Gergi, the lead petitioner in this case, is a citizen and national of Albania. He fled Albania after being attacked in Albania as a result of his anti-Serbian music that he's written throughout the course of his career. Mr. Shringegi, as noted in the record, is a prominent Albanian composer and musician. In 1998 and 1998, when the situation in neighboring Yugoslavia began to spiral out of control and war was imminent, Mr. Shringegi's songs became more prominent in outlining the oppression that was suffered by the Albanian people at the hands of the Serbians at that time. As a result of this, Mr. Shringegi suffered threats, intimidation, and was eventually attacked in August of 1999. This eventually led Mr. Shringegi and his wife to flee Albania and arrive in the United States. After they arrived in the United States, they sought asylum. What's crucial, in part, in their argument is throughout the course of the proceedings during Mr. Shringegi's asylum interview, he appeared pro se. And that is crucial as far as our second part of the argument. With regard to what transpired in this case, we believe the decision in this case is fundamentally flawed on two grounds.
Well, can you explain, because I think what the big problem you have here is trying to show that your attackers were government agents or that the government acquiesced to that treatment. You know, what evidence did you present that they were government agents or the government was really turning a blind eye to the activity?
What evidence Mr. Shingegi presented with himself was the testimony of his wife in this case. Also, and if we look at the country condition reports presented by the government attorney in this case, we have Albania as being an extremely, the Albanian police department being a corrupt police department, the security forces being extremely corrupt, that crimes against opposition members occur all the time. There's frequent arrests, beatings in detention, and so forth. And that would also lend to the second part of our argument that Mr. Shringegi, by not being properly informed of his rights pursuant to the statute in this case, was denied an adequate opportunity to present his case. In this particular case, Mr. Shringegi clearly and credibly, and the judge did find him credible throughout the proceedings, testified that the Albanian police and the Albanian government was pro-Serbian at this time and was acquiescing to the threat that he suffered as a result of his anti-Serbian activities. Throughout the course of the proceedings, Mr. Shringegi, from the beginning to the end, was never fully admonished of his rights, and that's my second argument. Under the law in this case, the immigration judge is required, is mandated, to advise the alien of certain rights. And I would argue that the reason for that advisal is that, by definition, any person in immigration proceedings is a foreign national and not familiar with our jurisprudence. And in this case, the immigration judge failed to do that. Some advisements were given. We're not contesting that all of them were not given, but some of the crucial ones were not given in this particular case, Your Honor. With regard to the advisements that were not given, the crucial one that we would note that he was never advised. And I mean, it might seem obvious to us because we are attorneys or judges. He was never advised that he could testify and present his own case in this case. He was told that he can bring in witnesses. Now, to an attorney or to a judge, that seems common sense to us. And I would argue that it appears to be common sense. But we have to understand Mr. Shringegi is 56 years old. He has he's a foreign national. He comes from a country that's recognized, even the country condition reports, as being repressive and not having an adequate judicial system. So now the purpose of that advisal is that he be told that you have the right to come in here and testify, to present your case. Throughout the course of the proceedings, what happened was Judge Cuevas questioned Mr. Shringegi, questioned him as to what happened on this date, what happened on that date, and so forth, but never gave an opportunity to say, Mr. Shringegi, it's now your turn to present your case in full, and allow Mr. Gege to allow for the natural flow of his case in this regard. The second thing, the immigration judge never informed that he had the right to object or cross-examine any information presented by the government. And I think that's crucial because when you look at immigration cases, there's two parts to an immigration case. The first part is to determine is the alien removable. That is the government's burden. The government has to prove that the alien is removable. They have to present evidence or testimony or documents to that effect. In this case, by the judge not informing him that he can object to that, not informing him that he can object to the government report that came into this case, Mr. Shringegi had no basis of determining if that was an issue that he could approach in the subject. He was just assumed that the judge was asking him questions and he would have to go with those questions. He answered each question truthfully, but he never had a fair and full opportunity to present his claim. As a result, the judge violation of his of the act in this case. With regard to, and if I can, to the judge's decision in this case, I would argue that first of all, it's a poorly written decision. With regard to this, in regard because the immigration judge never really clearly states the basis of his denial. The strongest basis that he alleges in this case is that Mr. Kincaid, he failed to report these incidents to the Albanian police forces. I would argue that should not be held against him. Because what the judge is actually requiring in this case is that Mr. Kincaid, who fears the Albanian police, fear retribution if he were to report these incidents, actually go and report to them that I fear being attacked by you. I think that would not be necessary. I don't think it's a call for in this case. Mr. Kincaid did as any other individual would do. He feared the police. He feared these pro-Serbian forces in the Albanian government, and he fled as a result of those actions. To require him to go to that added step of requiring an applicant for asylum to say, basically, I'm afraid of you, don't hurt me anymore, is just preposterous in this case. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors. I am Blair O'Connor. I represent John Ashcroft in this matter. The government asks that the court deny this petition for review because the record fails to compel the conclusion that petitioners were persecuted at the hands of the Albanian government or with the acquiescence of the Albanian government, and because the record establishes that the petitioners were adequately advised of their rights in removal proceedings, particularly of the right to counsel. Now, in this case, it is clear that the immigration judge did find petitioners credible as to his testimony that he was a well-known Albanian folk singer who had composed patriotic songs criticizing the treatment of Albanians in Macedonia and Kosovo. The immigration judge also found petitioner credible that he was attacked in August of 1999 by three unknown assailants. It's important to note that what the immigration judge did not find persuasive about petitioner's testimony is that the entire Albanian government was unable and unwilling to stop attacks on Albanian citizens who advocated Albanian rights abroad. The immigration judge appropriately found that it was just inconceivable that some Albanian citizens, although while it was conceivable that some Albanian citizens may have had pro-Serbian sympathies to the events in Kosovo and Macedonia, it was inconceivable that the Albanian government on the whole would have just permitted and allowed violent attacks to occur on its citizens by pro-Serbian sympathizers without doing anything whatsoever to prevent and stop them. Now, as this court has noted in Roman versus INS, although a finding of persecution does not require that the government actually perpetrate or incite an attack, an applicant for asylum does bear the burden of showing that the government condoned the attack or at least demonstrated a complete helplessness to protect the victims from the attacks that occurred.
What about some of the general evidence that counsel alluded to? Is that enough to prove those points?
Again, all the evidence that we have, Your Honor, is the petitioner's self-serving testimony that the entire Albanian government was comprised of pro-Serbian sympathizers, and that just was not supported by the rest of the record. The State Department reports have no mention whatsoever that there is a large pro-Serbian element in the Albanian government or that the Albanian government was just allowing these attacks to occur on its citizens without doing anything to stop them. So all that we have was the petitioner's testimony, which was obviously self-serving, Your Honor. The record in this case just utterly fails to support a conclusion that the attack on a male petitioner in August of 1999 was either orchestrated by or allowed to happen by the government. As the immigration judge noted, he failed to report the attack to the Albanian government. Therefore, there's no evidence that the government was even aware that the attack in August of 1999 had occurred and that they were even in a position to do anything to prevent future attacks from occurring. Petitioners have the burden of presenting specific facts to show that the harm they suffered was either orchestrated by or at least sanctioned by the government. And this is a burden they just simply failed to carry in this case. Again, all we have is a self-serving testimony that the government was comprised of pro-Serbian sympathizers, who would condone attacks on Albanian citizens who are advocating Albanian rights abroad, and is just simply not supported by the rest of the record. The State Department reports do indicate that crime was a widespread problem in Albania following the collapse of the pyramid schemes in 1997, and that the crime problem was exacerbated by the fact of the widespread availability of firearms and the high unemployment and poverty. The immigration judge properly found that petitioners failed to show that they were harmed by the Albanian government or by agents acting at the direction or acquiescence with the Albanian government, instead of the fact that these were the three assailants who attacked them were individual pro-Serbian sympathizers who were carrying out attacks completely of their own avail. Because the evidence record fails to compel a conclusion contrary to that reached by the immigration judge, the petition for review should be denied. Now, with respect to the claim that petitioners were not adequately advised of their rights, again, this is simply not supported by the record. The immigration judge repeatedly advised them of their rights in removal proceedings, including their right to an attorney and their right to present evidence at all three master calendar hearings that occurred in this case.
That was four different times, right? Four separate occasions he advised them?
Yes, Your Honor, including the merits hearing. Yes, Your Honor. I don't know if it was discussed at the last hearing because they had not obtained an attorney. Obviously, they did not show up at the merits hearing with one. But I do know, with respect to the three master calendar hearings, he concluded each hearing by saying that you still have time to obtain an attorney if you want one. Now, it's important to note at the initial hearing, they indicated they could not afford one. The immigration judge did as he's required and said, well, here's a list of free legal services that are available to you. Now, the petitioner's daughter indicated that she had called one of the services on the list and been informed that there was not enough time to get an attorney prior to that initial master calendar hearing. But the immigration judge continued this case on three separate occasions, and he reminded them on each occasion that they still had time to obtain an attorney, and there's just no evidence that they did not have enough time to obtain one of the attorneys from the list of free legal services. Again, he also repeatedly informed them of their right to present documents, which they did. Many of the continuances were done so they could get their documents translated, which they finally did. And he repeatedly advised them of their right to present witnesses and asked them during the merits hearing if they had any witnesses that they wanted to present. Now, with respect to the fact that the petitioners fought the immigration judge for not specifically also informing them, well, you have the right to object to any evidence submitted by the government or to cross-examine, there's no evidence that he even prejudiced by that, because in this case, the government did present no evidence. They admitted all the factual allegations of the notice to appear. Therefore, there was no evidence presented by the government. There was only a brief cross-examination of the male petitioner by government counsel. Your Honor, barring any further questions, the government conclude by saying, because this record clearly establishes that the petitioners were adequately advised of their rights in removal proceedings, and because the record fails to compel the conclusion that they are persecuted by the Albanian government or with the acquiescence of the Albanian government, we ask that this petition for review be denied.
Just briefly, with regards to the advisement of rights, there was four cases.
And let's just start with the right to counsel, because the hearing was continued four times, and they were... You don't dispute the record that the court advised them.
No, I don't dispute.
And do you have any cases that say that the hearing has to be delayed until counsel is obtained?
No, Your Honor, I don't have any. I don't deny the first part with regard to the judge not advising them. The judge did, in fact, advise them, did discuss that issue with them.
Plus, there were numerous occasions on the record when he advised them, as counsel pointed out, about their right to present evidence and to object to evidence. You don't dispute that.
Well, Your Honor, there is no reference to that. If you look through the record, and there's only one quote that we cite when there, where the judge comes close to addressing the issue, the judge never discusses with them what their rights, their specific rights to testify on their behalf and present the evidence. The statute in this case is crystal clear. The court shall advise certain procedural rights.
So you're saying that the IJ didn't explicitly inform him of his right to bring witnesses and present evidence and postponing the hearing twice so he could submit properly translated documents and urging him to bring in specific witnesses to Chicago? You're saying that's not in the record?
That's in the record. But the judge never specifically informed him he has the right to cross-examine and challenge the government's evidence. He never informed him that they themselves have the right to present their case. What the judge informed them was they have the right to call witnesses. They have the right to have these documents translated. But never specifically address these things. And now, to us, it makes common sense that they should know that. But we're dealing with a foreign national who's not familiar with our laws. The judge was bound by this specific statute to say, you have this specific right. The first part of any immigration proceeding is to determine, is this person deportable? And that rests with the government to prove that case. Mr. Sheringagi and his wife have the right to object to that information that would come in. By the judge not informing them, they have no basis of knowing they can challenge it and have cannot challenge it because the judge basically took over at that point.
And so do you have any authority with respect to these country reports that would suggest that that would have been inadmissible or that any of the evidence that was obtained from them either during his direct testimony or cross was inadmissible?
We're not saying that it would be inadmissible. What we're saying is Mr. Sheringagi would have the right to challenge that, would have the right to bring additional information to challenge the country conditions report. When the government comes forward and says you don't, never makes reference that you can challenge this report, a foreign national might say, well, that's the government report. It has to come in. I can't do anything about it. What Mr. Sheringagi could have done, if he was informed of this, presented contrary evidence, contrary country condition reports, which were never presented in this case. And that is the result of Mr. Sheringagi not being informed of his right to do so.
Did, in your view, did the immigration judge violate any particular regulation in not advising your clients further?
It's noted in our brief, 8 CFR 240.10A4, where the immigration judge, and I can read from it, that he or she will have a reasonable opportunity to examine and object to the evidence against him or her, to present evidence in his or her own behalf, and to cross-examine government witnesses presented by the government. The judge has to inform him of that. I mean, the law says shall inform. It's a crystal clear thing. And I think it's designed to benefit these aliens who come into the system, not familiar with how the armed court system works, and may not know that they have these rights.
So your view is there was a failure to follow their own regulations?
It's their rules. They set it up. They should follow it.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. We will proceed to case number